The first COVID-19 vaccine arrived in Ireland yesterday, but it will not be administered to medical staff and to some older patients until Wednesday. Questions have been raised by members of the medical community about why Ireland is waiting to roll out the vaccine when other European countries have started already. It comes as cases of COVID-19 reach their highest levels since the pandemic began, with 1,296 cases being reported by the Department of Health last night. Well, to discuss the rising case numbers and the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccine, we're joined from our Athlone studio by the Chief Executive of the HSE, Paul Reid. Paul Reid, good afternoon and thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon.
I noticed that you tweeted in the this morning that testing and tracing volumes are now at alarming levels, our highest daily tests now at 23,000. Last night we saw cases of this virus reach their highest numbers since the pandemic began, up to 1,296 cases last night. How concerned are you by those numbers?
Yeah, Justin, first of all, can I say a really special thanks to all of our healthcare staff. We've been working throughout Christmas, and particularly this year now, our swabbing centres and testing and tracing teams. Yeah, they are very concerning numbers that we've seen emerge over the past week, and particularly over the last 3 to 4 days. As you just mentioned, over 23,000 tests completed on one day. What we're also seeing in the community is a high positivity level. So if you take out the serial testing and just assess what we're testing in the community, which are high levels in itself, it's about reaching 10% on some days. And equally concerning is the numbers of contacts that people have. We've seen it move from an average of about 2.5 to 3 to over 5 at the moment. And in some cases, that could be up to 10 or 15. So that kind of culmination of high cases, high positivity and high numbers of contacts. You know, so, for example, our contact tracing calls have gone from within a week of about 9,000 less than 2 weeks ago to now 30,000 contact tracing calls. So they're concerning figures which we, the public, we can all get control of with the right actions.
That those positivity rates that you're talking about there, sometimes up to 10%, you say, how do those compare with the positivity rates during the summer? In other words, I suppose, what are these numbers at the testing level telling you about where this virus is going now and how many cases we might have in the coming days?
Yeah, during the summer we would have just been down low levels below 1%, but obviously as we move through October, November and into December, we were reaching positivity levels of 5%, 6%, but then did drop much lower, below 3%. But what we are seeing now is a very significant exponential rise in those positivity rates, and ultimately because higher transmission levels in the community and ultimately transmitting very strongly within households. So our real call to the public, my real call to the public today is, particularly as we head into New Year's, to really retract, take the right appropriate actions to absolutely reduce contacts that you will have in the next few days, because the virus is transmitting at a very concerning level. And the best actions we can all take to protect our hospitals, protect our testing and tracing systems is to really return to our households, protect our family, protect each other.
You say it's concerning. Are you concerned about the ability of the hospital system to cope? Because we know that January is typically a very busy month for the health service. Can you cope with these type of numbers?
Yeah, well, traditionally, as I'm from today, literally a couple of days after Christmas into early January are the peak times of demand for hospitals. And what we have seen in the last couple of days, particularly on COVID cases, it's risen quite significantly to this morning at 320 positive cases in our hospitals, significant rises in Beaumont, Letterkenny, Galway, Tallaght. Thankfully, our ICU levels are staying low at 23. So COVID cases are higher and generally non-COVID services increase now in these coming days. What I will say, however, just briefly, going into winter and as of now, we are in a much stronger position than we were at any other winter previously. So as of today, we're about 82% less trolleys. We've just over 50 trolleys in the system. And that's largely an investment, what we've made in extra beds, extra capacity, more people being treated at home, extra supports for GPs and diagnostics. So we're going in stronger, but it is equally very volatile. Okay. That we have to protect.
Do you have contact tracing capability when the numbers reach as high as they are now, over 1,000?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, what I do want to say is our teams have performed fantastically, because it's not just contact tracing. It is the swabbing centres who are seeing the demand through to Christmas Day, as Christmas Eve and onwards. So we have resourced up our swabbing centres. We have brought in what we call some contingency resource to help us in the coming days and weeks. We have recruited 750 people on contact tracing and 630 people on swabbing. So we've mobilised well, but I really want to say to the public, there is a point at which the public can really help us from this not getting out of control and overwhelming our testing and tracing system. And that's really my call today. We are coping. Our teams have done a super job. But the public can help this from becoming overwhelmed. And that's my real call today.
OK, would you, as head of the health service, would you prefer if non-essential retail closed right now to keep control of these numbers?
No, from our perspective in the hospitals, we're obviously, they're decisions for government, and you fully respect that. We're more concerned.
I know, but you're asking people to you know, to I suppose, take certain actions. But, you know, does the, you know, would you like the government to take an action as well in relation to preventing, I suppose, people from going in to do shopping in the sales and so on and mixing?
Well, as you said, as head of HSE, from my perspective, I think government have taken decisions. And really, the biggest thing that can make the next biggest impact is all of us individually taking our individual and collective decisions about what we do, who we meet, how many people are in our household, what we do on New Year's Eve. That is the biggest next major impact we can make. So I think government have made big decisions, and I'd call on the public now to each, let's all play our part too.
What do you put these rising numbers down to? I mean, is it the new strain of the virus that we're hearing about, or is it the high level of social activity that we have seen in the run-up to Christmas that's causing this?
I think ultimately we can say with reasonable confidence it's a combination of both. We know that the new strain of the virus is here. We know it's in Northern Ireland. We know it's now emerged in other European countries. We did act promptly here in Ireland in terms of approaches with UK people travelling from the UK in terms of self-isolation and testing, which we're carrying out over Christmas. But there's no doubt, I mean, we did predict and we understand that there will be more people meeting over the Christmas. And that's understandable. People have had a really, very tough year. And it's tough for me to say here today to urge people again to withdraw. But it's the stage that the virus is at, that it is important who we meet and the numbers of people we're meeting. So I think it's a combination of both the virus transmission levels and also the numbers of engagements we're all having.
OK, I want to ask you about the rollout of the vaccine, because if we look at other European countries, Hungary, Germany, Italy, the Czech Republic, they've all started vaccinating people yesterday and today. Why are we waiting until next Wednesday before we start giving it to people?
Yeah, just briefly, obviously, yesterday was, I think, a great day for the country, as we saw the first delivery of the almost 10,000 delivery from Pfizer, BioNTech. From our perspective, priority and effectiveness is absolutely key for us. This is not just a decision that the mobilisation of the HSE from an operations perspective. This is a recommendation from the High Level Task Force, which is made up of the chair of NIOC, the National Immunisation Advisory Committee, the CMO, our own chief clinical officer. So it's a clinical process to ensure that the registration and consent process. This is a new vaccine and we are dealing with vulnerable groups. And our teams are working throughout this weekend, first of all, on rolling out training, but secondly, on getting those consent processes, which are quite complex with the vulnerable and elderly population we're dealing with. Now, what is the intention is to start early next week. My expectation is we will get some vaccinations going on the 29th, which would be on the Tuesday. And then our mobilisation starts across with some healthcare workers and a very significant mobilisation. Our concentration is to do this safely, do it effectively and roll out across in a 3-week period to do all of our nursing homes in a full sweep, and then a following 3-week period to do them all a second time. And that's even different than the way the UK are doing it, if you read some of the reports from it. So it's a very strong, focused but it is, you know.
But still, people will wonder why we're not ready from day one. I mean, I suppose the question has to be asked, is it a failure to plan properly? Because we've known for a long time that the vaccine was coming and other countries seem to have been able to get their act together and start it promptly. But we haven't been able to do that.
No, I think what's absolutely at the top of our priority is what I've mentioned on safety. We want to build confidence very early and immediately in our vaccine rollout programme. The consent process dealing with the population we're dealing with is quite complex. The registration of all the details of all the people in the nursing homes that we're dealing with. We will start with four hospitals, in four hospital locations, and we will be doing some elderly residents. And look, Tuesday is when we start. Look, there's nobody wants to get this going quicker than myself and the HSE, but we do want to do it that has the full mandate in terms of safety, effectiveness, and all the protocols. We have learned from previous vaccines and previous pandemics, and we've all the clinical people around the table at the high level task force who've made this recommendation.
How many people have been trained to administer this vaccination now?
Yeah, we've a training schedule which, first of all, focuses on our community vaccinators who will be mobilising into the nursing homes. We've about 180 of those who will be going through various training processes. Secondly, we'll be mobilising, we've about 1,500 vaccinators across our acute hospital system. They'll be trained, but there's an updated training that has to be deployed as part of this training. This is not just a simple process like, you know, any other injection. There are safety protocols that have to go with it. And then we will be rolling out to other elements of the workforce, including GPs and pharmacies as part of a rollout programme.
Okay, and I see Rita Doyle, the President of the Medical Council, tweeting yesterday, and she wanted to know why we are only vaccinating 30 people in one day.
Yeah, frankly, I'm a bit disappointed with Dr. Doyle's comments on Twitter, because there hasn't been any contact directly with ourselves. And our focus, like the Medical Council, is on safety. And that's a key concern of us. So we would have been looking through the vaccinations per vaccinator per day. We are dealing with, and I really want to, your listeners to understand this, we're dealing with an elderly population. We want to do this right. We want to build confidence. We want people to ensure. We want a very strong take-up of the vaccine. And what we do in the first few days are very important. So, you know, safety is our primary driver, and we will be rolling out at pace, but we'll be doing it safely.
Oh, okay, and just finally, Paul Reid, I mean, you've got 10,000 vaccines now that you took delivery of yesterday. How long will it take to roll those out? And then for the bulk of the population, when can people expect, you know, that the supply to be coming on stream sort of rapidly and for a fairly regular rollout of the vaccine to be happening?
Well, I can say for certain what we know now. So we know we have 10,000 ready for distribution. We know that we expect another 30,000 delivery in the next few days, certainly early into next week, from Pfizer. That'll be 40,000. And then we expect the delivery of about 40,000 per week from Pfizer through January and into February. Secondly, we await the approval on the Moderna vaccine, and we are in dialogue with Moderna just in terms of delivery schedule for that. But in essence, what we do know for certain so far, that 6-week schedule I mentioned to you about the rollout of long-term care facilities, it will be all residents and all staff completed. So in parallel with that, we'll be immunising in our healthcare system, priority groups primarily in our hospitals. And then as deliveries increase, we will start to move out to wider populations as per the sequencing agreement.
All right, Paul Reid, Chief Executive of the Health Service Executive, thank you very much indeed for coming into our Athlone studio to talk to us today. Now, we're joined on the line by medical journalist June Shannon for analysis of the situation we are currently in. June, we heard Paul Reid there, and we heard that questions are being raised by people in the medical community about why we are waiting 4 days to start vaccinations when other countries have started immediately. What's your own assessment of how prepared Ireland is for the rollout of these vaccines?
Hi, good afternoon, Justin. I mean, I don't think a 4-day interval is a major issue in the grand scheme of things. You know, as Paul Reid was saying, you know, safety has to trump everything else, and I would agree with that. This vaccine doesn't come syringe ready like others, and it also has to be diluted. People need to be trained, need to look out for things like allergic reactions, although these will be very rare. So I think it's appropriate that time is taken to do this correctly. It's a very relatively small number of doses that we have available. So I think to make sure the processes are in place and speed can't be allowed to trump safety for the sake of 4 days.
And as Paul Reid mentioned there are more vaccines on the way. Reports today that the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine might be more effective than was first reported.
That's right. And this is, again, very exciting news that the effectiveness of the AstraZeneca Oxford vaccine is at close to 100%. I mean, it's what's very impressive about all these vaccines that are coming out. And there's, remember, there's six of them so far that the EU have mentioned to agreement with, is that also the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccine were found to be more than 90% effective in preventing COVID. So to put it in context, flu vaccines usually reduce the risk of infection by 40 to 60%, depending on a person's age. So this is very good news. The effectiveness seems to be very, very high, over 90%. The 6th of January is the date that the European Medicines Agency has set for the possible approval of the Moderna vaccine, which is the next one that could very well go on stream in Ireland.
Yes, and of course there will be people who'll have questions about this vaccine too, and we haven't seen any extensive communications campaign around vaccination yet in relation to the COVID-19 vaccines. I mean, to what extent will there be a need to convince people to take it, and a need for a campaign at government level and at HSE level to convince and to try and address some of the questions that people will have?
Yeah, I think it's vital. I mean, it should really be starting now immediately. This is the first time that Ireland or even the world has started a mass vaccination process like this. There'll be questions around it. Justifiably, people will have concerns. So I think all those questions need to be addressed, and there needs to be a promotion of vaccination by the HSE, by the government, by the Department of Health, across government encouragement. These vaccines are safe. They wouldn't be approved by the European Medicines Agency if they weren't. But we still need to answer people's questions in a clear manner and make sure that everyone is reassured that the COVID vaccines are safe.
All right, June Shannon, medical journalist, thank you very much indeed for joining us on This Week.